Now on to what I want to talk to you about today. And it's just so funny because the other day, a Monday night in our board meeting, the board, they rotate on doing devotions. I want the men and ladies, if we have women on the board, which we don't right now, we're praying that we do in the future. I want them to be engaged in the meetings and the spiritual aspect, because that's what we're there to do, the business of God's house and the spiritual dynamics of what we do here. And so they do a devotional. And one of our board members who will remain nameless, but his name's Ken Harsh, came forward with this awesome devotional. Now, they all do great. But he had this devotional on how God's people need to be all in. And little did he know, and I made a note of it that night, this is past Monday night, that I was working on a sermon series called All In. And I said to him, that's a sermon series. Well, I knew that because it was already in my notes. But it was a sermon series I wanted to preach in October and until November. But I thought God was speaking to me that you need to start that now. So that required me to do a little scrambling because I had it started, but I didn't have it completed. So I'm going to start it today. I just think that, and now Pastor Ashley resigning, this is exactly the message God wants us to hear today. This is exactly what he wants us to hear. And we're having a little technical difficulty. So if you see some black on the side of our screen up there, that's my fault. I'm not sure how I did that, but of course I did it. I just don't know how to fix it. So, but you know, there's this concept out there, folks, of being all in. I grew up hearing this concept from my mom because what she would tell me, she would say, you know, Brad, you know, give it all you got. Now I'm 6 or 5 or playing baseball or something, and she would say to me, give it all you got. I would go off to school and she'd say, give it all you got, son. You know, it's kind of resonated. I'm working on this sermon series. I remember these things that my mom instilled in me that become part of my life. And same with you. Your parents or the people that were instrumental in your life instilled things in you that you remember today. And that was one of those things, just give it everything you've got. And maybe as a youngster, I really didn't understand that. Maybe today I don't understand it to the depth that I need to understand it. But I know I needed to be all in on something. And I grew up with this give it all you got. And then it was kind of funny because just this past couple years, if you're into sports, and the Cavaliers making a run for the National Basketball Association Championship, and what a daunting task when you had LeBron James and this team, and they started this rallying cry, and it was like this, all in. And then you would go to the games and you see on the news and whatnot, they had T-shirts and they start the games with the T-shirts. And it was very interesting when the whole thing was all in, the words they had on the T-shirt, the word was together. That was the word. What a biblical concept of unity. So they had this all in and they went all the way. And they believed because I was all in. I was sold out for the cause. I was going for what I believed. They were all in. It's that sports thing. When I play baseball, we say, leave it all on the field. Which means when you get off the field, you better be exhausted, barely able to walk. You got to leave everything out there because that's the game and that's the call. And that's what we're doing. That's the time. Just like when you do certain things, people say, we got to be all in on this. We believe in ministry that we need to be all in. We believe in church, you've got to be all in. I believe in your family, you've got to be all in. It doesn't mean we're always in one accord, but we're all in on family matters or whatever. There's a dedication, there's a commitment, there's a perseverance, there's a nonstop attitude in this all-in thing. And that's what we're going to be talking about for a little bit. And I want you to listen to something it says, I wrote down here, I don't think it's going to be on the screen behind me, but listen, it says, the gospel doesn't cost me anything, but it demands everything from me. See, it doesn't cost me a thing, I just have to accept it. the free gift, the Bible says, but there's going to be a demand on me, but it doesn't cost me anything to get it. The price has been paid for me. It demands that we go all in. It's a term that simply means placing all that you have into God's hands, pushing it all in. And that's where we get stuck. It's a spiritual no man's land. I talk to people about how we're on the spiritual island and we're kind of like stuck. We're afraid that if we go all in, we might miss out on something that this life or this world has to offer. It's not true. The only thing you'll miss out on is something that God has for you ready. And the good news is this: if you don't hold out on God, God will not hold out on you. See, I believe that if we don't experience this all-in concept with living for Jesus and doing everything we have to do or feel led to do or want to do and need to do and all that, we're not all in with everything. But there's something there in heaven that God had reserved for us that we don't end up experiencing on earth because we never got there to get it. We held back. Let me tell you what the meaning of this all-in phrase is. The spiritual dimension. It means invested to the deepest levels. I ask myself, am I invested to the deepest levels in Calvary Church? Am I invested in the deepest levels to my family? Am I invested to the deepest levels of my Lord and Savior? Am I doing everything He's asked me to do? And even the things I don't know yet, am I looking for them? Am I investigating His will? Am I moving in a direction to find my purpose? Wednesday night, we had a large crowd here because people are coming in because they want to talk about who am I and why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And the first Wednesday night, we had a good crowd. But this past Wednesday night, we had a lot more. And this coming Wednesday night, if you have not been here, I encourage you to come and bring a friend. It's just a powerful time of sharing and watching what God does when people get around the table and start talking about what God's doing in their lives and what they need to be done in their lives. That sharing concept of just, we have round tables set up in our sanctuary and people get around round tables and we have a program and we talk about it. That's an all in. All in is an invitation to find the meaning of life through the story God is writing in you and God is writing through you. All in is a wisdom of handling your resources, your spiritual resources. You're all in. See, you hear me talk about these things called the gifts, the talents, and the callings. In the spiritual dimension, God gives you a gift. He gives you a talent. He gives you a calling. Why do I know that? Because the Bible says everybody has calling. Not all the callings are the same. Callings are what God specifically lays in your heart. This is your calling. This is what you are to do. Your gifts are what God gives you to successfully do that. And your talents are the same. You have a talent. My wife has a talent. Everyone on the platform has this talent of music. I do not possess that talent for my calling. It's not me. If you get to 100 people on a Sunday morning without a special service, I'm going to hurt your ears and show you how much I can't sing. I'm going to sing. Plead with my wife to do that with me. Then there's these natural all-ins. Family's a natural all-in. Your finances is a natural all-in. Whatever you got to do, right? Anything like that that's in the natural. Your job, your profession is a natural. I got to be all-in because if you're not, you may lose it. There's things that you have to do to maintain this all-in concept in the natural. And as I'm putting this together, I remembered this show that I watch. I'm not a big TV watcher, aside from some sports shows here and there, which isn't that many. Right there? I don't watch that much sports. But, well, I guess I do sometimes. Not often. But there's one show that I do watch, and I've probably watched all the episodes, and here's the show. It's Gunsmoke. How How many here know Gunsmoke? Come on. See, look at that. Gunsmoke. Everybody knows Gunsmoke. Dun, dun, dun. I'm watching Gunsmoke, and my wife walks through the, you know, we got the TV, and she walks through the room, and she just looks at me and looks at the TV. Dun, dun, dun. And she's walking through the room, you know. But if you watch Gunsmoke, you see something there that is kind of a good example of what I'm talking about. Here it is. For some reason, it's the Old West, but they play poker a lot. Right? I don't play poker. I'm a champion euchre player, as my mother-in-law knows, but that's about the, you know, that's as far as it goes. But they play poker. And it seems like most episodes you see them playing poker. Of course, I'm not an advocate for gambling. Don't leave here and say, Pastor likes to play poker and he gambles for money. No. But it just got me thinking on this all-in concept. Because what happens when I see this Gunsmoke episode and they're around the table, it just seems like the one thing they always say every episode that they show someone playing poker is somebody at the table pushes all these chips in and says, I'm all in. It's amazing. I'm watching the other day, one of the episodes that I saw probably three or four times, and he pushes all the chips and says, I'm all in. But wow, okay, God. So it gets me thinking about what's the other things in this game. I'm not a poker player. But it gets me thinking, what else goes on in this game? And I start thinking, what else do they do around that table on Gunsmoke when my wife's walking through and going, dun, dun, dun. And here's a couple things they do. They fold or pass. I fold. Pass. I'm not sure at the pass part. Poker, so maybe it's the same fold. I don't think so, but fold is quit. And it gets me thinking, you know, that's what we do sometimes. We quit before we get to the all-in. We quit. And then there's another thing they do around the Gunsmoke poker table. They just hold. I call. Is that right? Guys that play, ladies that play poker? Tim Greaves is like, yeah, that's it, Pastor, that's it. It's a hold. It's a call. I call. I'm not going to go any further. I'm not going to get involved anymore. I'm going to stay right there. I'm not going any further. Oh, yeah, that's us in our spiritual walk of not being all in. We don't get to the all in because we call. We pass, like I said. I don't want to do that. I'll let that person do it. I pass. I'm just not going to do it. God may be saying to do it, but that's not, I pass. Here's the one I like. They push in those chips and they say, I raise. Somebody's going a little higher. Right? Now, here's what's going to happen. It's going to be the front page of the paper tomorrow. Pastor at Calvary Church uses poker gambling to show messages at church, right? That's not what's going on here. I'm just telling you about Gunsmoke. But I raise. In the spiritual dimension, that's raising the standard. Going to the next level. And then it's that last thing that I started with that I love, all in. But you notice what happens on the poker table on Gunsmoke when they say it's all in. When they push those chips and they say it's all in, that means it's all or nothing. They either win it all or they walk out with zero. There's a price to pay. See, but in the Christian community, as we are believers, there's no price to pay. There's just a demand on us to get to the all-in end. There's some work to be involved. There's some callings and talents and gifts and things we've got to do to get to the all-in. But guess what? The price was already paid. I don't have to worry about that. But now I just worry about the demand on me. I can live with that demand. I can handle that. I'm going to jump into a scripture here. It's not going to be, this one won't be behind us. I want to talk a little bit about the early church as I move through this, on this all-in concept in Acts 4, 32 through 35. There it is. It's a little small today, my apology. But it says, all believers were in one heart and mind. This is the beginning of the church, right? No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own. But they shared everything they had. Can you imagine that? With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that they were no needy persons among them. They just took care of everybody. For from the time to those who owned less or owned land or houses, they sold and brought the money from the sales, put it in the apostles' feet, and it was then distributed to those who were in need. They willingly did that. Nobody forced them to do that. They were all in. They believed that what was going on here was bigger than them, bigger than that community, bigger than the world, as big as the universe. They realized the church was being birthed, and the Lord Jesus Christ was the leader. And they wanted to be all in. The Bible says that God owns everything anyways. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And listen to this, the world even, and all those who even live in it are owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that I have on loan. So when he asks me to go all in, he's not asking me to take anything that I have to go all in, because he owns everything. He even owns me. So he asked me just to go all in to see if I am obedient, to get to the all in concept, the end, to see if I'm going to do what he needs done on planet Earth or at Calvary Church. Thank the Lord that Ashley gave us almost a year of children's ministry. The church was, you know, just in transition, and it was, I wanted the kids to have someone, and she steps up and go all in. I will always remember that. But let me read you a story about somebody, a couple people that weren't all in. It's not going to be behind it. It's a little bit long, but it goes in Acts chapter 5, 1 through 10. And here's the story. You know the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Now here's a picture of a couple. It starts, now a man named Ananias, together with his lovely wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. See, they're all selling their stuff to throw into the pot, to split it up, to birth the church and move it forward, and let's do this together. We're all in. No, your pastor's not asking you to do that for Calvary. I'm not asking you. With his wife full of knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. So he sells some land, he sells some stuff, and his wife knew what was going on, and he says, oh, I'm going to give this, but I'm going to give this, or keep this. So there is a split going on. So he kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it in the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart you have lied to the Holy Spirit? That's a heavy statement. Lied to the Holy Spirit. Have kept for yourself some of the money you received for your land. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? In other words, weren't you in charge of it? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied just to human beings, but you've lied to God. Verse moving on, and 8 says, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Great fear seized over those who heard and what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. It's a big price to pay for not being all in. I give you my word, I'm going to do this. I come forward, and I don't do it, I lied about it. And then you notice the scripture says you didn't lie just to man, you lied to God. And there's the aftermath of the lie. That's a heavy price to pay. About 3 hours later, his wife shows up, not knowing what had just taken place with her husband. Peter asks her, hey, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for this land? Obviously knowing the answer. Yes, she says, this is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to actually try and test the Holy Spirit? Listen, the feet of the men who just buried your husband are at the door. They're going to come in and carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at the feet and she died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all that had heard what the events had just taken place. Called to be all in. This is what we're going to do. They agreed. do it. And then when they came right down to it, they parted off some for themselves. They went in there and said, yes, this is it. And then they lied about it. And I just love how the scripture says, how do you think you could actually lie to the Holy Spirit? Can't be done. God knows everything, right? God knows your heart. They sold property and gave less than what the sale price was. And Ananias and Sapphira, but they just weren't all in. But guess what, church? They were partway in. They just weren't all in. They did it partway, and then they lied the rest of the way. And I ask myself, why? Here's why. Because the fear inside of them outweighed their faith of what they were doing is why. Now, here's a statement for you, church. Fear is where you trust God the least. See, fear is where we trust God the least. When it came right down to it, they didn't trust God for everything that they were called to do, and they just stopped and said, I better leave some of this here. We see that all the time. We do it. We all do it. We don't go all in. And then that's exactly, that fear of that situation is exactly where we have the least faith. And that's what we struggle with, right? That's what we struggle with. Here's a question for you. How can you bridge the gap between what you see in the spirit and what you see in your life? How do you go from here's what I see and here's what I know? There's this valley, and what do I do? I get that question a lot. Pastor, how do I know? How do I really know? And how do you bridge that gap? Be cautious of anything that robs you of being who God called you to be. It is possible to be better at the chase for the all-in than the actual catch. See, a lot of us could do that really well. We could go all the way through it, and we have it all down of how we go through the process. I'm all in for Jesus, but really, we're about the process of getting there but never really arriving. We never really arrive to the all-in because we're so caught up in the process of it all. We'll diagram it, we'll study it, we'll do these things, we'll fund it, we'll all this stuff, but we just don't get there. And I'm going to tell you right now, I just want to get to the end result of being all in. I'll let Jesus worry about some of those things, the logistics of getting there. I just want to make sure I arrive, wherever that may be. I just want to make sure I get there. I don't want to get to a situation where I start letting fear overtake my faith. Sure, we get fearful at times. And that's when we just take the next step, and we take the next step, and we take the next step. Go a little bit deeper, a little bit farther, Paul writes about. Don't look behind you. Just keep going. It's going to be really easy for the church to say, where are we going to get another children's pastor like the one we have? I'm going to tell you something. It's not my problem. It ain't my problem. God knew exactly what would take place way before I did. God shall provide. I'm all in. I'm all in at Calvary Church. I'll let God take care of that. I'm all in. God will take care of it. I know he will. He did for the last year. What makes me think he won't for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? All in. God has a stimulus package for you. He has a situation to come in and rescue you. If you have put him first, he will certainly put you first. Listen to what Matthew 6:33 says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and then all things will be given unto you as well. And you might as well just put right at the end of that scripture, I promise, because that's a promise of God. So let's read it again. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. So I ask myself, am I doing that? Is that me? And then I read, and all these things will be given unto you as well. I promise, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, I can live with that. We need to stop giving God what is left and start giving God what is right. Whatever that is. I don't know what that is in your life, but I know what it is in mine. I know the areas I need to be better at being all in on. This is not a message about tithing. We're going to start studying in October, biblical economics, and I appreciate Tim's talking about that a little bit. It's not about tithing. It's about how God set the whole thing up to fund your life. It's amazing study. I'm going to have a co-teacher, Al Peterson. Al taught a Sunday school class for us back here a few months back. He's going to co-teach it with me. It's an amazing study. If you want to see how God set up finances in the kingdom of God in your life, no, not the kingdom of God first, your life and my life, you need to come on Wednesday night starting the first Wednesday in October. Oh, pastor's talking about tithing. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. We're going to talk about things like the principle of release. What's that? Come Wednesday. You know, it's going to show you something that is just amazing. It's the all-in concept. He's going to teach. That's why this worked out so well. I start this all-in message. When we get to Wednesday night, you're going to understand it even better. Wow. The dynamics of the supernatural that change lives when you listen to what the Bible says and how God set the whole thing up from the beginning to the end. It's not just a couple scriptures. It's powerful. It's an all-in concept. God blesses the people he can trust to live there and fight there and all in. I'm all in. Ask yourself this morning, church, is that you? Is that me? Are we all in on whatever? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Here's a thought for you. Don't see everything in your life today that you've done as a harvest. Everything that you've got now today, whatever that may be, God's blessed you. I had a conversation with my in-laws the other day, and you know, we were sitting at dinner, and I made the comment to them, and I said, listen, I said, you know, you're a little older than me, just a bit, but look at the blessings God's given you. Look at the blessings. We're getting ready to watch their grandson get married and future daughter-in-law into the family, right? And think of the blessings of God. Now, just because sometimes we don't get some of those blessings that we feel about, we got the ones, and I thank God for the ones we get. I do. I don't concentrate as much as I used to on things I didn't get and what God didn't do. I concentrate more on what God did and what he's going to do. It's a shift. You know, my wife taught me that. It's a shift in thinking. It's a shift. I don't see things in my life as a harvest anymore. I see them as a test. I look at my life now and say, that's a harvest. Wow, the God bless me. No, God tests me there. When I started thinking like that, it really started changing my thought perspective. Look at the blessings of God in my life. I got great this and this, and I got ministry. I got this, but God's given me the test. That's how I'm starting to see it. Okay, God, what's that mean? The test. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to be Ananias and Sapphira to go in and kind of like split it off, and I keep some, and God keeps some, and then I try to say, you know, hey, I try to cheat God a little bit on whatever that may be. If God has asked me to give more of my time, I got to be all in if that's what God's asked me to do. If he's asked me to give some more money, I'm going to give some more money. If he's asking me to go do something else in ministry, I'm going to do this to be all in. But it's got to be God. It's got to be God. Now, does that mean I can't do things that I just want to do? No, it doesn't mean that at all. There's two things, and Pastor Ashley and I were talking about this the other day. There's callings and there's leadings. The callings are from God. They are above reproach. That's what God's calling you to do. That's what you do. But then there's these leadings, things that you know God lays on your heart for a season that you'll do, and God will lead you through it, but it's not necessarily a life calling. Big difference. I'm led to do these things, and when pastors listen to this and listen to people in the body talk about this, and you say, I'm called to do this, I told you this before, I listen. Other people say, I'm led to do this, Pastor. Great, we need that. Right? We need that. But I asked you to be all in on all that, and God does too. Be all in. Luke 12, 48b, at the end of the scripture, it says this. It says, from everyone who has been given much, I've used this before, much will be demanded. I don't know about you, church, but I've been given much. The fact that we have lights on, food in our bellies, and a roof over our head, we've been given much. No matter how much you have. I took my kid to the baseball game the other day, and we're walking down the street of Cleveland, and there's people laying on the ground, sleeping. And he looks at me, he says, Dad, that's so sad. Much is given, much is expected. There's a demand on there. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked.
Okay, Lord.
You can't win if you're not all in. The only reason you're not winning is because you keep only giving half of what God's asking you to give. Sometimes I ask myself, I'll just have to go after it more and give more and push farther. Maybe then I'll get closer to the all in because maybe I'm just not there like I thought I was. I guess I'll never be penalized for doing more than what God's really asked me to do. But I'll be penalized for not doing as much as he's asked me to do. Right? That's what happens. Here's a quote for you. It says, your harvest will look like your seed. Let's just stop right there. I wrote that down and God laid this on my heart. Your harvest will look like your seed. Think about that. You will reap what you sow. Stop looking for discounts on your destiny. Your destiny requires an all-in concept. It's going to take some demand on us. Let's go get it. Right? You're either all in or you're all out. It costs everything to do the thing that God has called you to do. You are so close to a blessing, if you throw your whole self at it, something is going to happen. You cannot have success without sacrifice. Father, this is what you asked me to do. I'm all in. That is one of the powerful prayers that we pray. Father, you've asked me to do this. I'm all in. God expects our best. God expects us to move from where we're at to where he wants us to be with fervor and power to get it all in. Listen to this. It says in Revelation 3:15 through 17, you know this scripture well. It says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other because you're lukewarm. Lord, don't let me be lukewarm. Neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. See, God doesn't want the lukewarmness of Pastor Brad. God wants an all-in, sold-out, nonstop, full of energy, get to the end, work hard, get there. But that's not just for pastors. That's for everybody. And let me tell you something, church, it's not for God's benefit. See, that's what we get kind of messed up in church. We think that this is all for God's benefit. Trust me, if you don't do it, he'll find somebody else. But it's going to get done. But it's for our benefit. It's for us to do. He lays this on our heart. He says, this is what I want you. Why? To help you. To show yourself faithful to me. Sell your land and put the money in and do the right thing. If that's what they're doing, that's what they were called to do at that time. And that's what they did, some of them. Right? Let me give you a couple people here that were all in the Bible. There's so many. You know there are. And I'm going to be bringing this in for a landing here in a few minutes. But I just want to mention a couple names. Abraham was all in. God called him to leave home and go out and venture out and just go do and then, you know, go out to this land that, you know, didn't look so good when he headed out. And, you know, just like you and I, God calls us to head in a direction. We don't know what that direction is going to end up, but he says, just go. So he just went all in, left his family. He left his friends. He left his home, all in. He ventured out. You know the story. Here's another guy that, you know, I learned this. Growing up, you did too, I would imagine. If not, you've heard about it. But Noah built a boat. And Noah was all in. Noah. You know, I look at all these children's stories and that I heard as I was blessed to grow up at the church. And Mom was a terrible mother. She made me go to the house of God every Sunday and every Wednesday. And, oh, Mom, I turned out horrible. But I learned about the big boat. Big. The guy and his family were all in. Even when they mocked him, laughed at him, said it can't happen, can't fill the building, can't fill the boat, won't happen. It's not even raining. He's all in. He was just committed. And let me tell you, as you know the story, it didn't take a year or two. There was an all-in concept of living his life for a long, long time. Just remember what the story says and how many years. A lot, right, Fran? A lot of years. Esther was all in. Esther. I don't even remember Esther, Pastor. Esther was a beautiful woman, the Bible says. Esther was adopted, grabbed, forced to come in and be with the king. And it's a story in the Word, and you can read about it. And she just was forced to do things that she didn't necessarily want to do. But guess what? She's all in for Jesus. And she got that situation to save a lot of people. Read the story. She got into a situation she didn't want to be in, but she made the best of it when she was there. She was all in. God, I'm here. The king's got me now in his harem. He tells me I'm beautiful. The Bible says to spend a year making her even more beautiful. Wow. I know ladies that are spending big money to be beautiful. My wife's already beautiful. Let's pray. Right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are all in. Hebrew children, all in. Bow down to me and worship me. No, I worship the Lord thy God. No, you worship me. All in. All in. World changers, thank you. They went into a furnace because they refused to bow down to the king. What happened inside the furnace? We're dancing for Jesus. Daniel was all in. I have so many, I had to cut them all back. Daniel was all in. You know the story of Daniel in the lion's den, right? Daniel was all in. I'm glad God's not asking me to do some of the things that he asked them to do. But guess what? God is asking me to be all in. God is asking you to be all in. Now I'm going to ask our music team to come back, and we're going to continue on with this series throughout the next few weeks, and we're going to realize and learn, and God's going to lay something on somebody's heart. If only one, then I thank the Lord for that. Right? I can see it in your faces. A lot of people are thinking, what is this for me, Pastor? Where do I fit in this? All in. I don't know. That's between you and heaven. Whatever it is. But I know this. God deals with me on this. And that's why we're preaching it. I preach the best sermon series with the ones that God's working on me. And he works on me a lot. He works on me a lot. So I just want to make sure that I'm giving 110% on everything I do, and I'm all in. I just want to make sure that I'm not going to be doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing, withholding something, or whatever the case may be, and God's called me to do something. I know this concept about this all in. I know this. I said it already. I kind of stole my thunder. I can't go wrong at all. If I go the extra mile beyond what God wants me to do, or after something that God wants me to do, and I do it even more so than he's called me to do it, God doesn't penalize you for that. God's not going to penalize you if you go out and you're going all in for something to help somebody, but just do it all. Whatever that may be, whatever God calls you to do, just do it all the way. I look at those stories in the Bible, and I kept reading them this past week and studying them, and I had such a list. You just got a few. And I would read them, and I would say, wow, they did this, they did this, they did this. I'm just this pastor in Canton, Ohio. I'm not building a big boat. And God says, oh, yes, you are. I said, I'm not going into the fiery furnace. And God says, oh, yes, you are. I'm not going to be held captive in some foreign land by some king. And God says, oh, yes, you have. Oh, yes, you have. And then he starts revealing to me the things. I asked you to do this, and you did this. And I asked you to do this, and you got this far. I asked you to do this, and you blew it out of the water. I asked you to do this, and you got there. And I asked you to do this. And there's these things here I'm asking you to do. And you're not there yet, but you're going the right direction. But you're doing this thing over here that you don't even need to do. But I honor it because it's okay. It's a good thing. But don't miss the things he needs you to do. Because, church, it's not for him. It's for you. So I'm going to ask you a question before we close today. Been asking some questions at the end of our services the last few weeks, and I'm just going to ask you a question. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you a question that you're not going to want to raise your hand if you're not ready. You're not going to want to, because God watches the hand go up, the flag of surrender, and then he dispatches the assignment. Your hand in the air says, I'm ready here for you, God, and I'm going to go all in, whatever that is. And I don't know what that is, but I'm going to have this prayer here in a second, because I know that there's at least one here that's going to raise their hand. God has given me that assurance. I know that's going to be the way it is, but there may be more. But here we go. I'm going to ask you, who will commit today in Calvary Church to go all in on their walk with Jesus? Above and beyond, get to the finish line, get to whatever God wants you to do. God's calling you to do something. You know he's calling you and asking you, whatever that is. You've got to be all in on this assignment. If that is you today, I just want to pray with you. I do not want to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up front today. I'm going to ask you just to slip up your hand if God's calling you into that assignment. If that is you, just raise your hand. There you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7. Anybody else? I want to pray with you today. 8. Thank you. Once you put your hands up. 9. Once you put your hands up, you can put your hand down. Anybody else? I do not want to leave you out. Anybody else? Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I want to find myself faithful in your eyes. Lord God, I want to hear the words someday. Welcome, thy good and faithful servant. Lord God, you have a new task for me. I'm ready. All in, Lord God. And Lord, you just watched several hands go up at Calvary Church today. These people are saying there's an assignment on their heart, Lord, that you have given them, whatever that is, and they're going to fulfill the task all in. And Lord God, I want to say a special prayer for those that raise their hand. And Lord, that one person that didn't, Lord God, I pray that you give them blessed favor today. I pray, Lord God, that you touch their lives and you give them motivation. I pray, Lord God, you give them perseverance. I pray, Lord God, you give them dedication. I pray, Lord God, you give them energy. I pray, Lord God, you give them power to accomplish the task and be all in. I pray, Lord God, they complete the assignment. I pray, Lord God, they don't get distracted from their left or their right, that they get to the finish line, whatever the finish line is, and they're all in all the way. And I pray, Lord God, that you've got the right people for the task. I know you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stand with me, church. If you need prayer today, I'd love to pray with you. Come up front after we start singing, but this is your dismissal. As soon as we start singing, you want to praise and worship with us? We're going to do that. We'll see you Wednesday night. It's going to be a beautiful day. A number of you have a new assignment here today. I pray that you are all in. God bless you.